Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 9th of July, recording at 9:15 p.m., and of course that's British summer time. Now, another interesting day in here today with stock markets generally firm. Let's take the Asian Pacific region first. Big day again on Japan, up 2.5% for the Nikkei index. We also saw a good move by Australia, up 1.5% in here, and Australia has just broken up out of a little support building pattern that's been forming over the last over a month, I suspect. And elsewhere in the Asian region, China a little bit better, but remember it had that big drop yesterday. And other gains, mostly gains, Taiwan up over 1%, modest gains by India. It'd be easier to talk about the exceptions. Indonesia down and Thailand down. The Philippines was a fraction steadier here today, but these ASEAN leaders, which had done so well for the bull market phase up until May, really they've seen a lot of technical deterioration here, and that suggests that we now those short-term highs that we saw mostly back in May are really going to last for at least the medium term overall. And again, it's perhaps a bit of a welcome breather. They have had a huge move to the upside over the last several years, and their currencies are now weaker. That process really was started by Japan's big devaluation. And so that's caused some investors to abandon those ASEAN leaders. And additionally, they're all commodity producers. They also have industrial activities, obviously, but a fair amount of commodity production. And commodities have just been a weak sector, as you know. So I really do feel that the bull market in those ASEAN indices is over. That doesn't necessarily mean that a bear market follows at this stage, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a fair amount of choppy ranging over at least the medium term. Now, looking at other parts of the globe here. The Asian markets were up again here today. The top gainers, all just slightly over 1% higher, were the German DAX index, the Swedish OMX index, and the Swiss market index. The exceptions were really tiny declines in Spain and Italy. Now, in the Americas, Wall Street's been on a good run here recently, as you know. And actually, if we just stand back, and summarize here, Japan and the United States, these have been the star performers in here this year, and it looks like that's really going to continue. So I think that a number of investors can justify an overweight position in these markets. Now, they're not without risks here, because Wall Street is a little bit overbought in the short term. It was up, the indices were up over 0.5% in here today, a little off their highs at the close. But the big points of interest, just to review very quickly, is the most exciting thing for the USA is, of course, this huge advantage that it has in terms of competitive energy costs among the large developed economies. And that's entirely thanks to the private sector's invention and utilization of fracking technologies, enabling it to tap very large reserves of shale gas and oil. Other countries have yet to catch up with that U.S. lead. And the other big advantage, well, there are three of them that I'm going to cite. The second one, whether it was the success in fracking technology or some other factor, but I think it was probably the former, that this has sparked an increase in the overall inventive capacity of U.S. technology. So what I'm saying here, and have mentioned on a number of occasions, is that you remember back in the late 1990s and also in the first decade of this century, that there were a number of concerns, justifiable concerns, that the USA was losing its lead in so many sectors, and one of them, the lead that had been very strong, was in technology. Well, the U.S. has just geared that up again, and its technology has taken off and is moving away from that of other countries, which have been more affected by the valuation contraction cycle and the recessionary pressures that we've had in recent years, on and off. Now, the other big advantage that the U.S. has is it has by far the largest number of successful multinational corporate autonomies, by far. And these leading firms are just becoming increasingly powerful. Despite the valuation contraction cycle that has often been talked about by Floor Money over the last dozen years and more, really goes back to, I think, sort of 1998, 1999, we were starting to move into that valuation contraction cycle. So those are huge advantages for the U.S., not just in the short term, but I think over the medium to longer term. But I'm a little more cautious here because valuations have gone up, given the good rally that Wall Street has seen, and also corporate profits are declining, and we're still seeing higher corporate profits overall, but the growth rate in corporate profits has slowed across broader industries by quite a significant extent in the last couple of years. So it's a little more risky than it has been in the past. There's a lot of money that's flowing in. It's seen as a safe haven by investors. They like the firm dollar. And if that dollar keeps on appreciating, and I think it will, hopefully not too quickly, because that would not be good, but I would expect, for instance, the dollar to be higher a year from now than it is today, quite possibly higher for the next several years than it is today. We feel that the dollar is having had a long bear market and a very lengthy basing process. The U.S. dollar is now in a bull market phase here overall. But if it were to move up too quickly against this background of slow growth, that would cause some problems for the U.S. economy. So again, I describe the United States and Japan as being by far the most interesting big markets at this stage still. But again, expect a more choppy environment, I think, particularly for Wall Street. But again, that can spill over into Japan as well. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices, they're a little overbought in the short term, but this sharp rally has also created some more risks here for the global economy. I don't think that they're serious at this stage, but we always knew that this era of rock bottom interest rates and these long dated government bonds that that was not going to last forever. And indeed, we've seen a lot of people scramble out, a lot of some of the momentum players scramble out of that market. And I don't like these long dated government bonds. I wouldn't go near them, although I wouldn't be surprised if the yields backed off somewhat and consolidated here over the short to possibly medium term. But the bottom line on long-dated government bond yields is that the bull market, which kept taking yields lower for so many years, over 30 years, that is over. And therefore, and since that was a secular bull market, it is followed by a bear market, and therefore the medium to longer term outlook for these government bond yields is to move higher. Currently, we're seeing a switch of some money out of bonds and into equities. We're also seeing a switch of some money out of commodities and into equities. But if the bond yields, well, as the bond yields continue to rise over the medium to longer term, that will become at a later stage a clear headwind for global stock markets. But that's not a near-term risk, in my opinion. Now, in terms of currencies, I think the main factor is that we've seen some continued weakness in a number of the resources currencies and also in the ASEAN sector as well. The yen remains soft generally, and I think it's currently at 101 against the US dollar, 101.10, and I think we'll probably see that moving to 110, 120 over the rest of the well into 2014. I wouldn't be surprised by a move of that magnitude. So if you have a significant long position in Japanese equities, which is something that I have favored, but it's not a bad idea to hedge that yen weakness risk. And elsewhere, let's take a look at the commodity markets. Now, there were several interesting developments in here today. One little bit of firmness, additional firmness in the precious metals. They had a good day yesterday as well. So where this technical rally is continuing, they're rallying from an oversold position, but it's still too soon to say that this bear trend is over. I think we've seen most of it, but on the other hand, investors are still worried about stale bull long positions, not least from the Paulson Gold Fund. And again, they're still in clear overall downward trends. And personally, I would want to see clear evidence of base formations before we could anticipate a significant move to the upside. Currently, we're just seeing a technical rally, and I would expect the lows to be retested. Now, among other commodities in here, the industrial metals, now they had a good day yesterday, but are soft in here today. So it's still out of favor, reflecting more production relative to demand, and actually the slowing growth that we're seeing around the globe generally. Nevertheless, that has not prevented the oil contracts from remaining firm, and the Brent crude, as I speak, is still after hours trading occurring, but it's at 107.80. 80. That's up 37 cents. And the WTI, strong today, up over a dollar to 104.21. Now, I don't think that, well, I would be pretty certain that this strength is not justified by economic activity at this time. We're not getting a surge in oil demand, in other words, in my opinion. But there is the concern over supplies, and we had the unrest in Egypt yesterday. So even though the military has stepped in and replaced an elected government, this is not lessening tensions here in these oil markets. So clearly, a number of institutional players are hedged long here in these oil contracts. Now, at today's levels, it's a warning. It's not yet a major problem, but I don't think this is going to happen. But if we were to see another $15 to $20, let alone more, on those oil prices, that would be bad news. And let's hope that doesn't happen. And my guess is that it will not happen. Elsewhere, the U.S. grain and bean complex. Remember, we had the late plantings, and because there was so much cold, wet weather. Well, now they've got very, very hot weather, and this is starting to affect contracts. We saw corn leading a rally here today, but wheat and soybeans also had moderate upward dynamics. Corn, the better upward dynamic, because really there's now forecasts for more hot and dry weather, and that's also occurring just before corn, for instance, would go into and pollination. And this is a risk in terms of crop yields, clearly, and it's the first major threat beyond the late planting that we've actually seen. And so there's a possibility that we may see some food price inflation if this hot weather doesn't break fairly soon. And I think that's pretty much it. All the best to all of you.